Well, I had trouble with the sailing bit because I sailed with Stig, and it brings memories back. But I did take a tour with a friend of mine 2 years ago, just to see if I could manage at all. And we did choose a part of the archipelago where Stig and I hadn't really been before, so it was new to me. And I found out I loved it. I really loved it. So, and I've been talking to Eleanor, who's traveling with me now. Mm-hmm. We might rent a boat a weekend or so and get out again. But I still think I'll have to avoid the very special places where we used to, Stig and I used to end up. Because it's, yeah, I'm not ready for that yet. I think it wasn't so much an inspiration. It's the background we shared coming from the north of Sweden. Stig and I, there's a culture there of cooperation, of respect between men and women, which is needed if you are to survive in those cold climates for centuries and generations. So it comes natural to you to have a humanistic approach to things. So it was more personal than political to go into working against the Vietnam War. It was... You didn't want any more people to get hurt, including the young Americans that we met, coming as deserters or from the war, or coming from the war, having served their time there. And you see the damage it did to them. So it was more of a personal thing that got a lot of political outlets during the years. It has always been a personal thing, basically, rather than a political thing. I think that's the only way to have a sustainable, long-term activism in anything. It has to come from inside of you. There were many people who were active against the Vietnam War or in other political movements, and they sort of disappeared when it didn't bring them the money or the career or the prestige they wanted, and they went off to do other things. So I think it's more of a mark of that it was something that came from inside of you. It was the kind of person you wanted to be. It was the kind of world you wanted to see, rather than anything else. I think so. I think it has an impact on individual people. It has had an impact on the debate. It has definitely helped individuals to rise from hopeless circumstances and take action. I have an email posted in the guest book of the support site for me set up by the Norwegians by a woman from Santa Barbara, who states that she got out of a horrible relationship thanks to Millennium, because she thought that if Lisbeth Salander can do this, I can too. And I personally got an email from a very young girl in Sweden right after the first book was published there in 2005. And she just wanted to thank Stig Larsson for helping her to fight back and not commit suicide. So I had an email correspondence with this. So if it has this impact on the individuals, it has an impact on many more who maybe are not so vocal about it. And I do know that the books have had an impact on Spain, for instance, where there's a government authority that supervises the work of judges who work in the special courts, just dealing with abuse and against women and children. And they awarded Stig their prize a few years back because they said that the Millennium books are much better than anything we have, any reports we have, any annual reports we do of our work or any research studies we can do. Because these books can explain to the Spanish people why we are doing this. And it was genuine, and it was very strange to see the Minister of Justice, the State Prosecutor, the Minister for Equity stand on stage and explain why they supported this award. And I felt like I was in a radical meeting against racism or something like that, because they really meant what they said. So naturally the books have had an impact that's difficult to measure, but I've seen enough of it to be sure that people have understood what's in the books and feel strengthened. They feel empowered by it. I'm kind of happy that I was able to do it. It started off as a private project, just for me to understand what had happened after his death. Then I was curious about the life we had shared. What were we doing really? Because reading the Millennium books while they were sort of being created, I never saw anything out of the ordinary with them, with the ways of discussing, with the portraits of women, with the events that are played upon this particular group within the secret police, for instance, that did exist and so on. So I never saw anything out of the ordinary, but this is known, yes, I recognize this, yes, or we did that then and so on. So for me it was just interesting books at the time. So when I started to write this, I wanted to draw on that and explain the real reality behind Millennium. So that became the second part of the book that I was interested in exploring. So there were many gateways for me to come into and do this final project, so to say. Well, I think it's relevant, the sense of justice and the sense of speaking out. Well, she's not actually doing that. That's Mikael Blomkvist's role in the book, in the books. But I think there's some truth to that. Though I don't agree with her methods all the time. I think she's too much of a free-flying missile on her own and could crash land anywhere and create havoc, which she also does. But yeah, I'm very happy. I'm very happy about the chance in life, chance meeting and taking action on that chance, feeling that, oh, this is somebody I really want to get to know. This is somebody I really want to share my life with. So I'm very happy of being given that chance, very happy of being able to develop to what I've become all these years, and also influencing him on becoming who he was. So I have no regrets, really. No regrets.